Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
So you cooking now? Like, what's going on? What's a typical Memorial Day weekend for the boomers?
Always grilling, always jerk chicken and shrimp, always outside.
Okay, who's doing the grilling? Who's jerking shrimp and chicken?
It's usually me. I'm usually the grill guy.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife usually cooks inside. I take the outside cooking.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
What about you? What you got working?
I'm never cooking on Memorial Day weekend. That's like never on the table for me. I'm not that old. I think you have to be a certain age to get to you can attend a cookout, you can attend a party, a day party, but you got to cross a certain threshold to be like, hey, y'all, I'm going to put something on the grill for Memorial Day weekend. It's a level of like respect and seniority.
You've crossed that age threshold.
Yeah.
Like for sure.
When was it? When did I cross it?
Oh, 39.
39?
Once you crossed over 39.
Okay. So I'm here now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll plan better for next year. So that's when you start hitting people talking about, hey, who can bring the ice?
Yeah.
Who got cups?
Yeah. But you're too fancy. Like you have an ice sculpture. Okay.
What?
There will be glasses, okay. Champagne flutes. Like,
what ice sculpture do you get for Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, the flag.
There you go. There you go.
And big shout to all the veterans and all of the folks who've lost family members as a result of war. I was reading in the journal this week about some of the Ukraine-Russia stuff, which is absolutely crazy, how they've taken some folks on the Ukrainian side, drafted them, given them no training at all and given them guns and put them on the front lines. Like, war is terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of brave folks who went to war and some didn't make it home. And we want to honor them for sure.
100%. So my dad's a veteran. Your dad as well.
As well. And my uncles and I'm sure your uncles.
Yeah, 100%. And since I brought up my dad, I do want to bring up one really quick thing before we get on with the show.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate everybody who, you guys sent kind words. You guys sent emails and tweets and text messages. Just sending your condolences and just in support of last week's episode. To be honest with you, I wasn't really sure if, you know, y'all were going to be cool with it considering like we're usually like really upbeat and have a good time. And so last week's episode was a little bit somber as I announced that my father passed away. But I just appreciate all of your support to listeners, to clients. I had clients reach out and ask to give a donation to my father's favorite charity in his honor.
That's love right
That's so much love, right? Again, I got all types of messages, all types of love, and I really do appreciate that. You know, we share all of our information on here, all of our business. I know we have a good time, and I know we're always, like, giving you advice. But if you've been listening for a while, you know that we put all our business out here as well. And so I'm glad that I could share with you guys what we're really going through and that you guys could support and show up as the family that you guys feel like to us. And so I just wanted to say that to everybody, and I really, really, really appreciate it.
On behalf of everyone, I say we accept.
No, I wasn't talking to you.
It was a great tribute, y'all. I felt good about that tribute.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well.
And we accept.
No. To everybody else listening, minus Alan, thank y'all so much for your support. That's not what we're talking about today, though.
No, I think folks want to hear about the debt ceiling. They want to hear about our thoughts on all the stuff
that's
going
not what we're
on
talking about
in
either.
The political world.
Yes, I'm sure you want to hear that, but we're not talking about that today.
We got more important things to talk about.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend. So we're trying to have a little bit more fun, be a little bit more festive, especially since last week was a little bit gloomy. We don't need the word.
No, like word. Like, yeah, I want to be festive.
Okay.
Word.
Okay.
So, oh, my gosh. This lady fights me on everything.
That's not true. So
I'm like, good morning. She's like, no, it's not.
If it's 12:30, then it's not.
Oh, my gosh.
Then it's good afternoon or afternoon light. So we are here and we are talking about having a baby.
Baby.
Listen.
I see some ladies tonight that could be having my baby. Baby.
Listen. Y'all are out here having kids.
Not tonight.
Not tonight?
I saw them 20 years ago.
Okay. That helps. Clean it up. Clean it up. But y'all are out here having babies. We have clients. We have listeners who are having children, some on purpose and some by accident.
Yeah. And we won't talk about the accident kids because they're still real life kids.
We are talking about the accident kids.
No, we won't. We won't. I'm saying, like
the advice
them.
Today is for all the kids on purpose and accident.
Okay.
Not accident. By accident.
First of all, you're an accident.
Am I? I am.
You are.
Yeah, I am. But that's
a good
fine.
Accident.
Word. Yeah. There's a lot of good accidents.
Word.
There's a lot of good accidents.
Yeah.
But again, this advice applies to all children. No matter if they were planned or unplanned. We're not going to use the term accident, just unplanned, surprised.
Yeah. So we have a couple of clients that are having babies, and we already are working on their financial plans. But the moment that pregnancy happens, parents generally are like, okay, now I really got to get my stuff together.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today. What do you do when you're thinking about having a baby, or when the baby's on the way, or when you've got a little bambino at home?
First thing you do is check your bank account because you either got it or you don't. No, realistically, there's a financial, I mean, listen, we're here to talk about like wealth management, entrepreneurship, managing your finances. And so when it comes to having a baby, to me, that is one of the greatest life expenses under the sun.
I thought you were about to say experiences because
sure.
I think it's a great life experience to raise a child. But one thing I'll say what's so funny about, we mentioned like our clients having kids. We had a client recently schedule a meeting with us to ask us if they could afford to have a kid. I thought that was like
that's
interesting.
Above our pay grade.
Like, that's something y'all should decide.
Right.
Like, life isn't all a financial decision.
Literally.
So, like, if you want to have a child, have a child, but you do want to know what the financial implications are for
Correct.
Sure.
Correct. And that really applies to a lot of things, right? If you have a financial advisor, it's not our job to tell you what you can and cannot do. It is our job to try to strategize around how you can do that thing or best practices for doing that thing. So, listen, if y'all practice it, go ahead and practice. That don't have nothing to do with us. And whatever happens, we will strategize around what you need or what you have to take care of that situation.
So let's talk about the money side since you brought it up. And
yeah.
I believe having a child is way more than about the money.
It's a blessing. It's just expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
So it's estimated now that the total cost of raising a child from age 1 to age 17, $310,605.
I can guarantee there's a lot of parents listening, you included, that thinks that number is way too low. That must be a global average.
Yeah, that might be a little low because that averages out to be about $18,000 per year.
That's not what I would say
about the $18,000 kid.
That's food,
like,
first of all.
That's a good basic starter package kid
for
$18,000.
Hey, listeners, if this is your first child, it's not $18,000 a year. It's not $18,000
a year.
Yeah,
you figure like this. If your kid is into activities.
Eating.
Well.
Wearing clothes.
Oh, my God. No, but seriously, activities.
Doctor's appointments.
If there's private school.
Braces.
Yeah, these are all things. Like, braces, yeah, that comes with a payment plan, my brother. Like, yeah, it's not cheap.
Gymnastics.
See?
You trying to raise a little brawny, you got to put him in AAU. You got to do all the camps.
They're getting trainers now.
So, hair. Yeah. If you got a daughter, she need her hair braided. Then she need it blown out.
Mm.
Nails.
Lord. Yeah. No, it's not
Don't
cheap.
Don't let him be fresh, because now he needs Jordans.
Yeah.
He needs Jordans, new jeans, the tight ones, from what I hear.
Oh, my God.
And he got to stay fresh.
So here's how the $310,000 breaks down. So a third of it really is your home. Like, typically when you're having kids, you want to make sure there's space for the kids. You
Correct.
Don't want to put your kid in a drawer. I mean, you have to.
Correct.
Yo, straight up, when my mom was growing up, they were really, really poor. They would take a kid and put him under the sink. They would take a kid and put him in a drawer. They would put lining under the sink.
I could see the drawer, but now I don't want to be under the sink because if the plumbing ain't right,
yeah.
I could do a drawer, though. I could definitely do a drawer. It's probably warm in the
drawer. I
don't
know if your big head would have fit in a drawer.
Maybe
like a closet floor.
No, I definitely would have done very well in a drawer. But to Alan's point, housing, 32% of this $310,000, or just the expenses that you expect in raising a child to age 17 years old, is housing, their portion of the room and board. whatever that means, if you expand your house, you know, for the sake of your child or just whatever's going on, their portion of the home that you guys reside in, that's about 32% of the expenses that are associated with raising your child.
The next is about 27%, which is for food. So it's estimated that on the low end, a family of four spends about just under $12,000 a year on food, so around $1,000 a month. But on the higher end, it could be as much as $1,500 a month or $18,000 per year.
So we're going to stop right here. I just want to stop right here real quick. You have a household of five, right?
Okay. And a dog.
And a dog.
And my dog is on gourmet custom blend right now.
Sure. Okay. Five and a dog. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna bump you up to 20,000.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Are you spending less than $2,000 a month on food to feed everybody in your household?
So you want the truth?
Yes, 100%. You can't.
Yo, I don't know how much money we spend on food or hardly anything. Like, I just put the money in the account, it gets spent. Listen, but I would guess that we're probably in that 2K
you're
range.
You're nowhere near in that 2K range.
Well, it depends. You know what's crazy? Groceries are high.
Yeah, right now. We did a show on that.
Yeah, you could drop easily $200 at the grocery store and carry everything out
Here's
in two hands.
I live by myself. I'm a single individual person. And I spend $200 at the grocery store by myself a week. So that's not with five of y'all.
Yeah.
I understand
the issue
you're
is
doing
like,
bulk
it's
shopping.
Out. Like eating out. Like if I, the moment I hit go on an order that's getting delivered, it's easily $100.
Yeah.
Like that's the issue.
Yeah. So
it depends. But $20,000 per year, probably a little light. It could certainly be more.
Yeah. So again, we're giving percentages around like how you should think your expenses should be parceled out when it comes to raising a child. And almost as much as their housing portion is their food portion. So housing, we said, is 32%. Food is 27%.
And then there's childcare.
Ooh.
You know, childcare can cost anywhere from 12 to 29%.
So now we're over 100%. We're over 100%.
Yeah, some people end up in debt.
Exactly.
That's why we got a debt problem in this country.
Yes, exactly. Childcare is expensive. And as a person who does not have a child nor childcare, I just hear about like the numbers around like pre-K. And like they're not really learning anything yet, but
they're just watching your kid. they're just watching your kid.
100.
You just hope your kid comes back without lumps on his head. And it doesn't always work that way. I remember my kid came back with a tooth missing and they didn't even know.
You were paying?
Yes. I'm like, I'm not paying for my kid's tooth.
Okay.
To
was
get
it a
knocked
natural,
out.
Like
no.
He lost his baby tooth?
They don't
or
even,
he got whopped?
He got kicked in the face. Somebody was sliding down a sliding board and my
nobody
kid
noticed?
Caught one. And they didn't even know.
So did you take them out of this program?
You damn right we took them out. And I also attempted to get them to pay for his dental care because when a kid's missing a tooth too early, they then develop speech impediments. The rest of their teeth get pushed aside. They went out of business, so I never had a chance to collect. Mm-hmm. But, this is the type of stuff that happens that you got to deal with.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a couple of other incidences, and that's how they ended up, quote unquote, going out of business.
Yeah, my kid needed braces, and I think it's because of this.
Now I'm afraid of the childcare.
Yeah. So it is estimated that childcare can cost anywhere from $5,400 per year to $24,000 per year.
So I think the $5,400 is if the childcare is done by the grandparents.
Yeah, that's at my grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a community grandma.
Yes, 100%.
You know, like Mrs. Such and Such.
Right, Aunt Tina.
Yeah.
Right, or Miss Lacey. That's 100%. That's the $5,400 a month. I think the higher range is kind of like when you're outsourcing.
Who used to watch you when you were coming
right.
up?
Right. So literally just that. And I doubt my parents were paying her. So it was my dad's sister. It was my aunt. Right. But we called her Mama. And she had all of us.
Okay.
Right. So we all got dropped off in the morning. And it was easily 10 to 12 of us every single day. And so she kind of had a system and a routine as far as like when we went outside, when we could come in the house, what we had for lunch, when we had to go back outside, when was homework, how many times you could ask for something to drink, like if you could ask for a snack. Like it was very, very regimented.
You remember this?
100%. 100%.
Your memory is impeccable.
I had this down. Like I remember the plates that we used to eat off of. Again, I remember how many times we were allowed to ask for something to drink.
You know all that, but you don't know your ABCs.
I know my ABCs quite well. Okay. But yeah, no, literally it was my mom and she took us. I mean, literally it was my mom. She took me, all my cousins, anybody who was just local who needed, you know, their kids watched, fake cousins. And I have to imagine, I don't know if my dad was paying her, but I definitely know he was putting something on it. You know what I mean? As far as groceries or just, you know, I wouldn't say activities because we couldn't do nothing but go outside and come back in. So it wasn't like we were doing like arts and crafts or anything like that. But we were kept in line. I tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, look, there's a lot of costs for raising a kid. But I will say some of these are incremental costs, like meaning like I know we pinned $18K on the kid, but you got to live somewhere anyway. I know we pinned $2,000 a month on food for the family of four, but like you gotta feed yourself anyway. It's not that much more to get a little extra rice.
I don't know if I agree with that because like if the kid could eat rice, then that would be fine, right? If the kid can eat the donuts.
Raise your kid on rice.
But like, you know, especially now, like new age kids, they got gluten allergies. Like, you know, they're vegan. So they need all types of.
These kids are soft.
You'll
out here with gluten. Come on.
You'll eat anything.
We didn't even have gluten growing
up. But you got to make sure your child has, you know, organic fruit, you know, all the things. And so I do think like, yeah, it is more expensive than it would be if it was just you. You will eat a bag of chips and take your ass to sleep. Like that's not available for your kid. You got to think about nutrients and the hormones and all types of things.
And then education, like we haven't educated the kid yet, right? But like, I will tell you, like these private schools, people worry about saving for college. Like, nah, bro, some people need to worry about saving for regular K-12 education.
And by people, he means himself.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've had to put three kids through
private school.
It ain't cheap. I will tell you, so the average annual tuition for a private K-12 education, $23,000 per year.
Jesus.
Per kid. So you could be $60,000 per year.
$69,000 for you because you have three children.
For three kids.
A year.
Yeah.
It does
get a little, it gets a little cheaper when they get older. The younger grades.
They don't give y'all a discount if you put them all in the same school?
Sometimes.
Buy two, get one free.
Like my kids are in Catholic school. Sometimes the Catholic schools, they want to encourage like a lot of kids to be born. So they have like a tiered system. All right, here's the price for one. Here's the price for two. Here's the price for five. I'm like, five?
Listen.
Like, who's out here having five kids? I guess there's an incentive to have the kids. The
That's not an incentive.
Breaks.
A discount.
Yeah. So these are incremental costs. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like the housing and food, all right, that's incremental. But the tuition, the childcare, like those are actual real costs. So like if I were trying to literally, if I was one of these families who's like, can I afford this? Maybe I do some of that research in advance on what is childcare going to hit me for. And I will say for some families, it may make sense for one parent to just stay home.
That's a
versus
really good
paying $30,000 for childcare.
Yeah, because if you added together the childcare, the high end of childcare, plus kind of like the average given on private school for K-12, easily gets you right around $50,000.
It could be.
A year. And so to your point, being strategic or when you're talking to your financial advisor or whatever conversation you're having, it may make sense for somebody to stay at home just to save you at a minimum around $50,000 a year.
I mean, a lot of people get nannies. Nannies ain't cheap. Like a lot of folks on Wall Street when I was coming up would get nannies for their kids. And I just never wanted a nanny to raise my kids. You know, it was just better for my wife to stay home. She was willing to do it. You've got to do what works for you, but there definitely are some financial implications to all this.
Yeah, and I don't have children. And if you've been listening for a long time to our podcast, I won't be having children. But if...
You never know.
In the name of Mary and Jesus, a child appeared.
You never know. Jesus
would have a nanny. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you never know. As far as I could tell from my medical expertise, I would imagine the ovaries are still working. Okay? So I haven't done much of an investigation of this, but I would suspect.
Well, they're in prison. They're
you're
locked
still
up.
Of childbearing age.
And I won't let them out. So it's fine. We're
all right,
safe
Akon.
Here.
All right, Akon. So, and then there's college, you know, and you guys have heard me bemoan the fact that, you know, college in the boomer household is about to hit for over $90,000 per year.
A year.
You know, and
you thought you were off the hook for K-12 private school.
Yeah. So like the average price for a public school is about $23K a year. The average price for a private college is about $52,000 per year. But then there's these outliers out here.
You're a boomer and you know you could ball till you fall.
So think about it. That's all I'm saying. Think about it.
And then there are a lot of other costs, right, that are associated with having a child. Transportation, healthcare and insurance, clothing, extracurricular activities, hobbies, sports. We talked about school, but like, does that include field trips, activities, fundraisers? You know, y'all got to sell. Lord. What are they selling? Are they still selling candy bars?
They're doing popcorn.
Popcorn. You got to sell Girl Scout popcorn. Cookies.
They're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and y'all haven't even had a family trip yet because you know you got to do Disney. You got to do Disney.
Can I just tell you, the first time I took my kids to Disney, it took me like 3 years to pay it off.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up.
So again, there's a lot of costs associated with having a child.
I'm about to kill my kids.
What?
They done put me in a hole.
You done incriminated all
jack
of
them
us.
Up.
Now you done made us all witnesses.
I love my kids.
No, 100%.
I couldn't put a price tag on it.
I was going to say, and it's not about the expenses. For us, it's not us trying to scare you out of having children or just like bemoan it. But we just want to talk about it. And that's what we do best here is that we talk about what's going on. We talk about the real things. One, so that you're not surprised. And two, you could prepare for it. So
speaking of prepare, you should give some advice when we come back from break.
100%. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Momentum.
We're back.
Yes.
We're still talking about the fact that y'all are knocking boots and having kids.
Oh, my gosh. This Memorial Day, that's how you decide to bring us back from break?
Yeah. Knocking boots and having kids.
Good loving
body, and you're
rocking,
sing
knocking boots all night long.
Just so you know, Alan encourages the foolishness that happens. He may.
Do I?
Yes, 100%.
I will say I got my first hickey on that song.
Not a hickey. Are y'all still, hey, are hickeys still happening?
I don't know if our skin is supple enough
anymore. I was getting ready
anymore.
To say that.
Like,
I was
over
ready
40,
to say,
I don't think it's hickeys.
I don't know.
No
I don't mean like us in our generation. I mean like our kids
young people,
doing hickeys.
Yeah, I was somewhere recently.
And a kid had a hickey?
The cashier hickeyed up.
You sure they weren't getting beat?
No, it was hickeys. Yeah, because I was like, and then she started trying to cover it up.
Oh, wow.
Fast tail.
Okay, hickeys are still happening. I thought that was like very like passe. Because everybody's a player now. Back in the day.
I feel like people are moving fast
now. Here's the thing. Back in the day when R&B was a real thing and again, people were H-Town and all that, you wanted to be in a relationship. So you wanted to show I got myself a lady. Now, you know what I mean? In this day and age, you would, you know, I don't even know these musicians and artists, but you're supposed to be like a player. You can't have all these marks on you.
No, it's crazy. Back in the day, we were getting hickeys instead of sex. Like,
first like, of all, that was like it's a, not instead of. It was all you could get.
Yeah, like that was you achieved the mission.
Okay, question. Since you've admitted to having a hickey, I've never had a hickey. You should have saw Alan's face.
She on his mic line. She's lying her butt off. And I will say, brown skin girls could get hickeys too.
I know that's a fact, but I've never had a hickey. Fix your face.
Go ahead.
Fix your face. Mm-hmm. Does it hurt?
First of all, getting one feels good as hell.
Are you serious? It looks like it hurts so bad.
You know what hurts is like you're trying to cover it up, so you start taking that cold spoon
but
and rubbing
bringing,
it.
You're bringing, see, a cold spoon. I didn't even know that was a remedy.
That's how you try to get rid of it.
You're bringing blood to the surface.
It doesn't
that
hurt.
Has to it, hurt.
It feels amazing. I can't lie. It feels good getting one.
What?
It doesn't hurt, not one bit. Mm-mm. I even caught one on my face before.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I was.
How did you not know?
I found out after. I was like, oh my God.
On your face. So you had to, what'd you tell your parents? You got hit?
I just was trying to cover up my side of my face.
Oh, you got a cold spoon.
I rode on the passenger side.
Oh my God.
Okay. I just have my hand. Y'all can't see this. My hand is curled
resting
up on my ear right now. Yeah.
How long did it take to go away?
It takes like 3 days. Even with the cold spoon technique.
With the cold spoon. Listeners, if you can hit us up on Twitter at Momentum Advice, this cold spoon technique, yeah. I've never heard of this before. If this is not new to you, could you just reach out to us at Momentum Advice and just let me know? We might even put a poll up.
Okay.
How many people know the cold spoon method?
Okay.
I just want to understand what type of listeners we have here.
Okay. So let's give some advice to the aspiring and new parents out there.
100%.
What should they be doing?
So first things first, especially if you're employed, you need to know what your parental leave benefits are.
That's a fact.
And that's whether you are the dad or the mom, right? There's definitely maternal leave and paternal leave. So you want to find out what that is. You want to find out what the expectations are, how much leave you have where you will be paid, how much leave you are allowed to take, whether you are paid or not. You also want to understand your state leave. Sometimes they kick in and do a little bit more, or they supplement more time and you have to apply directly to the state. But you want to have an understanding around parental leave, especially if you plan on going back to work.
And I will tell you, our system of taking care of new parents is kind of trash in this country.
Oh, in this country, it's horrible.
Like our Family and Medical Leave Act, which is the bare minimum that an employer is required to do, it's 12 weeks of unpaid time off.
Correct.
Like, unpaid means, like, if you're living check to check, you might need to have some money saved. Now, there are some employers that will offer some paid time off for having a kid. I used to work at Goldman Sachs. They gave for parental leave. It was a little more for women, but dudes got a week. You want to see what your company's willing to do. You also want to see if you have any short-term disability insurance in place, because that could kick in to provide some income during this time when you're not working.
Yeah, and certain states do require their employer to provide parental leave. So that's Washington, New York, Rhode Island, California, New Jersey, and D.C. But that was only a couple states.
Yeah,
you know, out
move
of
there. Okay.
Now you're back in that 32% on the house.
Mm.
But yeah, so not a lot of states require it from their employer. If you're in any of these other states, you might just have to figure this out on your own. But you do want to know up front. Again, this is not to discourage you. This is to prepare you.
Next, you got to think about taxes. And I will say, when it comes to taxes,
this is a win. Y'all winning. Like, y'all winning on this one.
Thank your kid. Go home and hug your kid right now, because there's a lot of tax breaks associated with having a kid. First, you get an exemption, which is just a fixed amount you get to deduct from your income per child.
So when you see people out here claiming extra kids on taxes, asking if, you know, if it's cool, if I can claim your child or claim, you know, our cousin, that's why. They want that exemption on their taxes.
Yeah, if you want to pay their college tuition, go ahead. If you want to pay some of this private school, sure.
But I let them sleep over from time to time. I do a couple pizza parties, you know, every once in a while. And I definitely hit them with a birthday card every year. I definitely should be able to claim them on my taxes.
So the first is the exemption. The second is the child
tax.
Wait
a minute. If you don't have no job, like, as a parent, don't let that go to waste. Let somebody claim
your child. Oh, my God. Don't listen to her.
If you are not working, Don't block somebody else's blessing. Go ahead and offer your child to be an exemption.
Do not do this.
On somebody's taxes.
Please don't. You're about to get us barred, okay? All right, so the next one is the child tax credit. This really goes to any child up to age 17, and it's $2,000 per kid. It used to be $3,000 under the COVID era. It was $3,600 for an infant. It's now back to $2,000, but that's a nice tax credit that'll offset some of your taxes and should result in a refund to you. Now, I will say it's not refundable if you don't have any taxable income, but that $2,000 can certainly go a long way and just helping you to cover some of these expenses
but
for these
kids. That's why y'all mad at Moneybag Joe, because it is because he brought the tax credit amount down.
There's a lot of stuff that folks are mad about. I am not mad at him, but it would have been nice, Joe. If you're listening, Joe, tapping a mic. If you're out there, Joe. What's crazy, my oldest has aged out of this tax credit.
Still in your house and you can't even get the benefit.
Yeah. Next, there's the dependent care credit. So this is a credit for paying for childcare expenses. And this credit goes up to $3,000 per person.
Let's go.
If you've got two kids, it's capped at $6,000.
What if you've got three kids?
$6,000.
No.
They cap it.
No.
Yeah.
$9,000.
Well, unfortunately, now here's where folks get over. And I won't say who does this, but some people get over because they're sending their kid to private school and they're counting it as dependent care. Someone out there is doing that.
I was thinking that you were going to say, if it's a two-parent household and y'all file taxes separately, I'm going to take two on mine. You take two on yours.
Listen,
I'm not mad at that.
If you're filing as a single person, both can be head of household, then yeah, you can do that.
Just throwing it out there. Don't think it's...
If you're married, you should not be filing single or head of household.
It depends. It depends on what's going on.
And then finally, there's education tax credit. So there's something called the HOPE tax credit.
I hope
this joke gets good grades. Because I know I got to pay. So the HOPE credit can cover up to $10,000 over the course of 4 years. They break it down kind of funny, but it's up to $2,500 a year for 4 years. And that's if you're spending money on tuition and other qualified educational expenses. Tax credit.
Okay. Well, that's cool. A little bit of a break. Now, other things that you need to think about, or just advice that you need to consider, you got to think about your must-haves versus like your needs.
Yeah. And this is tough when it comes to having a kid, because I will tell you, every new parent I've ever seen
has some means,
their baby registry is full of stuff that they're not going to need, but they think they need because the industry wants you to think you need all this stuff. You don't need a bottle warmer.
You need a boppy, a bottle warmer. You need the thing to throw your diapers away
in. You don't need no diaper genie.
Is there a diaper warmer?
Oh my gosh. If there was, I'm sure there is one. You don't need that.
You need one of them lights that hang from the ceiling so that they can stare at and play with. That builds motor skills.
Oh my gosh.
You definitely need a crib, but you need the crib that turns into a bed.
But here's my advice for this. If you're a new parent, talk to an experienced veteran parent about stuff you're going to need.
So that's horrible advice. And I'm going to tell you why. Horrible advice because new parents always say, I would never raise my child the way she raised
me. Oh, my God.
Right?
Okay, talk to a good veteran parent.
Even though you cool with her, once you get pregnant, all of a sudden her parenting skills just don't seem like they're quite enough. So now I'm not taking advice from her.
I can't do this.
She only got one car seat.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? The baby now always strapped in.
Oh, my God.
Even though he's 8. You know what I mean? He ain't always strapped in. You don't think he has enough of the proper toys. And you know what I mean? So, like, I don't feel like people are going to ask the experienced parent because they feel like, you ain't really doing that great of a job. It was cool before, but now that I'm here, I'm going to do it better than you.
Okay. All right. Touche.
Did you ask for advice when you had your first?
I was one of these parents with the bottle warmer and the diaper genie and all of these things.
Do babies
and the boppies.
Like warm milk?
And the baby Bjorn and all of this stuff.
So I will tell you, I am always known for buying the boppy. If it's on the registry, I'm going to buy the boppy and I know the game. I know I got to buy the cover separately. I'm going to get you a couple of covers because I know they get dirty. You don't want to wash them.
Boppies get used for, on average, like 30 days or less.
Listen, I've damn near thought about buying myself a boppy. Like, they look so comfortable.
They don't make no big-ass boppies.
They look so damn comfortable.
This woman's crazy. Okay, So when we're talking about these things that you need or that you're not sure if you need, I will also say, why not look at getting some of this stuff secondhand? And now I know.
Blasphemy.
Now look,
you
I know.
Put my baby.
Look, what's
in this
crazy?
Used.
Because this stuff is not cheap. Have you bought strollers for some of your friends that are having kids?
I bought one stroller, and we did it as a unit for Momentum Advisors.
How much did it hit for?
I don't want to tell you.
Okay. Wait a minute. I was part of paying for it?
Yeah. As a firm, we bought a stroller for one of our staffers, and
it wasn't cheap. No. There's these designer strollers now.
I've seen them. They got like real nice leather.
Think about sustainability, because a lot of this stuff gets used for a short period of time and then it ages out and you can buy this stuff for really, really cheap. So let's keep talking about some financial things. When you're about to have a kid, you should really try to figure out what your insurance coverage is looking like.
Very, very important conversation, right? So you need to reach out to your insurance broker or agent if you have one. If you get your insurance through your employer, you need to notify them as quickly as possible because you need to start to look into what insurance coverage you're going to get for your child.
Health insurance is what we're talking about.
100%. So really, the moment that you find out you're pregnant, like, you are now thinking about you're doing prenatal care, like insurance is already changing, but then you need to provide insurance for this additional human the moment they come into your life.
On that note, it's all the insurances. So like if you don't have short-term disability, maybe you buy some. Like if you did the research, you figured out that there is no short-term disability option at your job, you can go out and buy some. As long as you're not pregnant, they'll sell you a short-term disability policy and it will cover your pregnancy.
And if you are pregnant, just don't say nothing.
Oh my God. I can't. What's going on with this girl?
Just go early. Don't say nothing before you start showing. Okay.
All right, so other good things to do. We love the HSA account. That's the health savings account. This is an account that can be used to accumulate dollars that can grow, that can be used towards healthcare expenses. And we do know you're going to have some additional healthcare expenses when you have a kid.
100%. Oftentimes, I think the HSA gets looked over because people think, well, they're just taking money out of my check. They just set it aside for medical expenses. I could just pay for that myself out of my own income. That's not it. They are investing those dollars. So that money is coming out pre-tax and it's growing and investing on your behalf. So you are getting a tax break. You guys are always looking for ways to not pay taxes, but this is a very legal way to do that. You're getting a tax break and you're getting growth. And so all of that combined is a really, really great tool for you to cover a lot of these expenses.
Yeah, I think of an HSA as a Roth IRA for healthcare expenses. And if you don't end up using it for healthcare expenses, later in life, it could be used as a regular IRA. Like it gets treated just like a regular IRA. But low key, one day you might yourself need the money for nursing homes and all kinds of care. And so an HSA is a great account for a parent because it puts dollars aside that can be used for things like braces.
There you go.
Hospital visits, like emergency room, not cheap.
A tooth knocked out at a daycare center.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm still not over that, by the way.
I'm sure he is. I've seen his teeth. Beautiful.
Yeah, braces. That's okay. Why. It was very expensive to get that small.
As we're talking about insurance, though, we have to talk about life insurance.
Oh, facts.
Right? So, like, the moment you have a child, you now have someone who is absolutely dependent on your income, you and your income. And as much as we want you to live forever, that's just not the case. Accidents happen. Unfortunately, death is kind of unknown. And so you need to have life insurance. And so many times I think that people, when they think about life insurance, it's like, I need to have money to leave to my kids. Now, I don't think about it that way. I think about you need to have money for your child to be taken care of in the case that something happens. This is not as much of a legacy play as it is a survival play.
Yeah,
your child needs to continue to have a place to live, eat, go to school, do all the things in the case that you are not here. That, to me, is your first line of defense when you think about insurance. It's not about, well, I just want to leave them some money one day when I'm gone. They can have some money in the bank. That's real cute. And honestly, there's another and bigger strategy around that. But life insurance, when your child is born, is around making sure that no matter what happens, they will not struggle. They will not end up homeless. They will not end up destitute because of your untimely passing.
And you want to buy like a 30-year or a 25-year term. Because you want to make sure that up until the point where your kid is college educated or professionally educated, that you've provided for them all the way through that period of time. So I love to see new parents go out and buy 30-year term 25-year term, maybe even 20, but definitely not 10. You want to make sure that they're covered through their most important years. Also, in terms of the amount, buy a lot. Like every time I had a kid, I went out and bought $1 million of term life insurance. I literally just pulled that number out the sky. But we talk about multiplying the number of years that you need to cover your kid by your income. So if I make $100,000 a year and I want to cover my kid for the next 20 years, I might need $2 million per kid.
Yeah, and that sounds like a lot of money, but honestly, depending on your age, and we're talking about term, it can be very, very, very affordable. A couple of years ago, I got $1 million term policy, and I think it was about $75 to $78 a month, right? And so a lot of you guys are having kids at a much younger age than I was at that time, but still, term life insurance is not incredibly expensive. It really is worth it. So if you need $1 million or $2 million policy, look into it, please, please, please. Whole life, that's a different conversation, and that's not what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, the thing I love about term is like you can buy a lot of it inexpensively. And the knock on term is that it goes away after a while. But guess what? The need for insurance kind of goes down over time. Like when your kid's 30 years old, they're not as financially dependent on you as when they're 3 years
old.
And
if they are, you're tired of giving them money anyway. You don't, you know, so you're not really pressed to give it to them post-mortem.
Well, you hope your 30-year-old has better employment prospects than your 3-year-old. They can go out and earn some money by then. And you also hope that in 30 years, you've also got some assets built up. You've got some retirement savings. You've
maybe
got some
real estate.
Absolutely. And so maybe right now your net worth isn't much, and that's why you need the term insurance. Down the road, you won't need it because you'll have assets.
Another thing that you really need to do is you got to create a will, do some estate planning, name your beneficiaries. Even if you don't have a will, there's a variety of different places where you have to name beneficiaries. One of them is your insurance policy. Another is your bank accounts. If you actually go to the bank and, you know, fill out a transfer on death form. Again, there's a variety of different places, even with your retirement savings. There
Absolutely.
Should be beneficiaries. So identify your children as your beneficiaries on a variety of different things and get to your estate planning. Set up a will or something bigger than that. My father had a will when he passed away, and he made sure with every update, we received a copy of it. So everybody, you know, since he's passed, we've been very clear on what we need to do, what the plan is, all the things that are in place, and we're working on those things now. But I tell you, it makes life a lot easier, and it prevents any strife or arguing, you know, between family members, because we know what his wishes were.
Absolutely. So you talked about beneficiaries, super important. Like that's like the poor man's estate plan. And I hate to say poor man, I'm just saying it's super easy to just add beneficiaries in all these accounts. We often recommend parents, if you're married, make your spouse the primary and then make the kids the contingent. But if you're not, then maybe make the kids the primary.
Or if you know you're going to leave him, then don't put him on there, especially if you don't trust him because he knows he's the beneficiary because, you know, you never know.
Tiffany's on one.
I'm not on one. I'm just being honest. I'm just having... And we had a client who had a similar conversation with us like this just last week around like, hey, you know, we know him, but we don't know him.
Yeah.
And once he finds out how much you're worth,
yeah,
he might... He might try something.
We've gotten out multiple clients who have like statements in their trust that say, if this joker tries to kill me,
right,
then he is no longer or she is no longer eligible to receive any sort of inheritance.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So we have a lot more to talk about. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum. So we're back.
Yes.
And we're still talking about y'all having babies.
Because y'all out here
bumping and grinding,
knocking boots, getting hickeys. Actually, they're skipping the hickey. They're going straight to the...
You think that's happening? Oh, you have kids. You have kids. I'm oblivious to this stuff. Kids to me seem so weird. They have like all these new like creative nuances. I'm like, are y'all even trying to have sex? Like y'all are trying to build an NFT, be in a metaverse, do AI.
At any point, do you want
to be around a real person?
I have a godson. I will tell you, they are out here having sex.
They're knocking boots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they really are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that in the metaverse.
You meet them on social media and dating apps, and then you're cutting right to it.
But do you even know how to speak to them in real life?
I don't know. I have no idea what it's like. I don't know what foreplay is like. I just know that it's happening. And these kids need to be strapping it up.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
So before the break, we were just giving some advice, and we're going to keep going through this advice. We're running out of time, so we'll go a little bit faster.
Yeah, because we have a lot to give, and we want to make sure you get all of it.
It's important to have an emergency binder.
And literally, we mean a binder, like a trapper keeper.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a place, a physical place where all your information lies. And it could also be digital as well. But you want to have all your important documents in there, insurance policies, investment portfolios, bank accounts, safety deposit boxes, passwords, any type of bills, your mortgage, you know, things like that. But you want to have some place where your family knows, at least one person, where they can find all of your important documents, like account numbers. It's a variety of different things. Again, as somebody who is going through death of a parent right now, I literally spent all week, you know, calling all of my father's credit card loan debt companies, you know, to let him know, you know, that he had passed away. But thankfully, I had all the account numbers for all these different organizations and companies, so it makes it helpful.
Other things for that binder, like, and I'll tell you, as a parent who was working, having a spouse who was at home caring for the kids, I needed to know where the doctors are, like the names of the doctors, the phone numbers, their insurance cards, copies of their birth certificates, like all of these different documents. It's really important to have in one place, because there were times when my wife was sick and I didn't know what to do. So having this binder all together, trapper keeper style, super important.
Sometimes people call it ICE, the ICE binder in case of emergency.
ICE, baby.
But I feel like we don't think highly of the term, the acronym ICE anymore.
That.
So we're going to move on. So again, you want to make sure they have information about your investments in bank accounts, copies of your will and life insurance policy. Another really, really important thing that people don't think about are your passwords and account access to a variety of different things. One thing that I got notified for a couple of weeks ago was on Facebook. Facebook asked me, who do we send your profile to upon death? Who do you want to be responsible for your page upon death? But I never even thought about that, right? And Facebook is very, you know, frivolous and superficial. Bigger picture, you want people to be able to access a lot of your online accounts or whatever the case is. And so making sure your passwords and just online access is available to somebody somewhere.
Yeah, that might be detrimental to your current relationship, giving out your social media password, but
I mean,
it's important.
No. Just somewhere.
No, I'm saying like if...
I'm not about to give it to you today. No, I don't mean that. Don't give it to them now.
Because I'll tell you, dude's going straight to your DMs.
No, just wait until... Put something in your phone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm sure iPhone has something like when you die, like all your things get sent to a person or something. So just... I know there's an online platform that does that, like upon death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I don't know who even logs in.
Yeah.
To let them know that it went down, but it sends out usernames and passwords.
Yeah. You could put it with your will. You could put a list together in
but,
there.
But you can't update your will every time you change. Because you know, now
no,
you got to...
In the will, with the important papers.
But you know, now you got to update your password every 3 months for certain platforms.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. It should... They need to know.
In the will, I got you. In the will, put a note.
Okay.
Look under the TV.
She's crazy.
So,
which TV? There's so many TVs
in
your house.
Make it fun.
All right. Parental emergency fund. So we talk about a regular emergency fund, 3 months minimum of living expenses. But when you're a parent, there's all kinds of new emergencies. Why not put a little extra something aside for things that might come into play for your kids as an emergency?
Yeah. Another kind of obvious thing that you need to do, open a bank account for your kid. Start putting money away for your children. Stop asking for, again, baby shoes during every birthday or holiday.
And Who's asking for baby shoes?
Everybody. Baby Jordans.
Okay.
The baby Diors.
Yeah.
Listen, these babies are
they
fancy
make
now.
Those?
Hell yeah. I actually have bought a pair as a
frivolous. Yeah, but straight up, like if I think about all the different birthday parties we've had for our kids, like we could have had...
You don't know where any of that stuff is.
We could have had a quarter of a year of tuition covered easy,
yeah.
Just off birthday parties alone.
And you don't have to wait till birthday parties. You could start at the baby shower. To Alan's point, stop asking for the boppy and just ask for some cash.
Yeah, other things that can go into that account for your kid, it could be part of your tax refund, put it into the kid's account.
Or if you got a promotion, you got a small stipend for something. Like anytime you get a little bit of extra income that maybe you didn't account for, so therefore you don't actually need it, go ahead and put it in that account.
Yeah, and it's fine to just have a regular savings account accumulating. It's better to have a college fund, though. And we should take a couple minutes and talk about college funds.
The one piece of advice I'm going to give before we get to the college fund, and hopefully I don't offend a lot of people, but when you know you're having a baby, you got to clean the damn house out. It's time. You got to make room for the baby. But like,
yeah, that's a fact.
You have things, it's not even baby-proofing, but you got stuff on all the shelves and all the counters. Every drawer is full of nonsense. It's knives on the counter regularly.
Your house is dangerous.
Your house
you got
is
those
dangerous.
Tables with the sharp
Anybody
edges.
Anybody with an allergy is going to have an issue in your house because there's dust everywhere. You actually have to now clean your house and take a lot of the mess out. Maybe sell some of this stuff and put that money into the account for your child. It's actually time to clean all that stuff out and make space for your baby.
College fund, may I?
You know, this is Alan's.
Speak on this now.
Can I just say something real quick? I find it hilarious. Back in the day, you used to come for me because I used to always talk about student loan debt and how I'm counting on Joe to make something work for us. You know, if God sees fit to do a little something special for us in helping us with student loan debt. Now, the moment you got somebody matriculating on to college, you cannot let up. So, yeah, we absolutely need to talk about a college savings account.
The easiest account to set up for your kid in terms of a college fund is a 529. A 529 is really just like a Roth IRA for college expenses. When I say Roth, what I mean by that is there's investments involved. The growth is not taxed as long as the money gets used for college expenses or for higher educational expenses in general.
Yeah, and it's after-tax dollars, right? And so that is a major component of it being similar to a Roth IRA plan.
Now, a 529 plan, our advice is always to set it up directly with the state.
Correct. You do not need to hire somebody to set up a 529 plan for you. You can go online, again, to Alan's point, register with your state, but you can Google and figure this out on your own. You do not need to pay a fee to set up a 529 plan.
Yeah, because financial advisors will definitely sell you one.
Facts.
And it's just laden with additional fees. Even some of our clients who want 529 plans, they come to us, hey, can you help me get started? We send them to the state website. Like, we don't want to add different fees to this account when it's really simple to set it up directly with the state. So 529 plans will accumulate and you can eventually use the money for college expenses. But there's also these prepaid tuition programs, and certain states will allow you to pay today's price and lock it in for your kid to go to school in X number of years in the future.
Real quick, Alan, how much did NYU cost 20 years ago or when you were there last?
Well, when I went to school for grad school, it was $32,000 per year. And that was almost 20 years ago. Actually, it was I started school 20 years ago.
And now we're up to $90,000.
You just keep just reminding me.
It's not reminding
this,
you,
yeah,
but
it's
our
triple.
Listeners, our
it's
listeners
triple.
Can take the advice of locking in college tuition now.
Yeah.
Right? If you would have locked in college tuition back then,
word.
This would feel a lot different. And so I know you're thinking like, well, I don't know what school they're going to go to.
Yeah.
And I don't know all these decisions. Listen, there are a lot of ways to rework these dollars and reallocate them in particular types of ways, as long as it's around education. But it would not hurt to lock these numbers in now. I will also add, and I'm not a parent, but at some point, you could just tell them where they're going. I don't know. If they're not paying for it, just tell them this is what it is. Or only do college visits to that school. Don't even talk about any other schools. Don't bring up no other schools. Don't do any college visits. You always tell them when they graduate from high school, you get to go to such and such amazing school, and they can't wait to have you. You're going to have such a good time.
Yeah. This is all great advice, but I just want to say this. I know we talked about the money side. Now I'm going to put my parent hat on for a minute. Like, having kids has been one of the greatest experiences of my life. Like, my kids are great. It's not always easy raising kids because they will have all kinds of issues and challenges. And they will eventually talk back. But it's a great experience. And we want to encourage those who have decided they want to go this route to be excited about it.
Yeah. But,
because it can be really great. It can be very life-affirming for you.
Yeah, we're absolutely not trying to discourage you. I know we have a lot of jokes on this episode, but we're not trying to discourage you. We just want to prepare you so that there's a strategy.
And one last thing, if you have a baby, feel free to name it Alan or Tiffany.
Oh, here's the thing. If you name it Tiffany, I'm going to get you a boppy. So absolutely.
Free boppy for
free
babies
bop.
Named after Tiffany.
If you
Tiffany.
Name your baby Tiffany after this podcast drop, I'm not taking any accountability for anybody who was born before. Boppy on me, 2 to 3 covers. I got
okay,
you.
Okay, fine. I raise you that, and I'll open up a 529 account for your kid.
Bomb.
If you name your kid after me.
Okay, right? You got to send us the birth certificate for sure. You got to send us the birth certificate. The date has to align, and I have to know for a fact that you actually named your child
after
Tiffany
you.
Or Alan.
That is sick, by the way.
We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.